Okay, let's do some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. That's obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. To reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Here's the thing. Information is power. Information is money. Literally, the currency of today's world of entrepreneurship is information. And if you could bring all of the information about your business into one dashboard, this is incredibly valuable. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of the truth about your business. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. This is so valuable. You just hit a button and you can see all the information about your business instead of having to like call five different departments and get all these emails and put it all together and make sense of it. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math, see how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/James. netsuite.com/James. netsuite.com/James.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show.
Welcome back to Hooked on the First Line, where we analyze some of the best first lines in all literature. And the reason we do this is because to understand and to analyze the first line of something helps us as creators, artists, writers, whatever. The first line is the most important line maybe in the book next to the last line, because if the first line's great, get to read the second line, the third line, the fourth line. And we all want to create things that people continue to either view or read or whatever. So, Cal, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Do you ever want to write a novel?
You know, I think when I was young, I had it in my mind, but I always felt that I needed more experience with life. And then as my life pushed forward, a lot of things got piled on. And so if I do, it will be something that happens toward the end.
Yeah, that could be. I had the ego and hubris to think that I could write a novel at a young age. So I wrote novel after novel after novel when I was from the ages of like 21 to 26. And none of them were good. None of them were published, but maybe it helped me hone my skills a little bit. One thing I realized when I was first starting to write is that you have to constantly read so that you're always feeling juiced up and inspired. Like reading gave me energy to write, particularly when I read great books. That's why I love analyzing these first lines, because I would think about them so much at that time.
Well, the line I picked is actually very easy to identify.
Let's do your line.
Okay. It's a very simple, it's a short line. But imagine you pick up the book, it's chapter one, Lolita, light of my life, fire of my loins. You know, once you read that line, whoever's voice that is in trouble.
Yeah, right. Because also the name Lolita is so it's not like a serious name somehow. It's like a very playful name. So you know, and you know the fact that his love is more about the fire in his loins, that it's not going to be a, how should I say, long, deeply maturing relationship.
No, and I know this is all about the first lines, but I'll just read on because it addresses everything you just said. So, yeah. Lolita, light of my life, fire of my loins, my sin, my soul. Lolita, the tip of the tongue, taking a trip of three steps down the palate to tap at three on the teeth. Lolita.
That's really beautiful too. The read that last line again, the three-step tap.
The tip of the tongue taking a trip of three steps down the palate to tap at three on the teeth. Lolita.
So this is Vladimir Nabokov. He wrote Lolita in English. It's one of the books he wrote in English. You know, many of his first novels were written in Russian, and then he moved to the U.S., and his later novels, including Lolita, were written in English. So it's interesting, the consonants, you know, the use of the T over and over again, that is interesting there, because it almost sounds like someone tapping down steps, the ta-ta-ta.
And you know what? He keeps it up in the next paragraph. She was low, plain low in the morning, standing 4 feet 10 in one sock. Man, what does that tell you?
I know. Was she short, or obviously we're getting to the point that she was young?
But there you go.
And also, he's so verbal, it kind of implies a little bit of age to him.
And manipulation. The ability to manipulate, because he's very adept at language. And now You've got a woman, young girl, we don't know, 4 feet 10 in one sock. I mean, obviously, this is not a 42-year-old woman.
Right. And also, there's the kind of contradictions. Like, first he says, the light of my life. But then he says the fire, you know, Lolita, light of my life, fire of my loins. And then the second one, my sin, my soul. So there's, everything's a contradiction. Let's say I'm acknowledging my wife in a book. I may have an acknowledgement page. I'm not going to say fire of my loins. I'm going to say light of my life, my soul, you know, and then the person's name. So it's a contradiction in every sentence, or at least it's a positive negative in each sentence.
And look how he continues. So we already saw she was low, plain low in the morning, standing 4 feet 10 in one sock. She was Lola in slacks. She was Dolly at school. She was Dolores on the dotted line, but in my arms, she was always Lolita.
Yeah.
This guy is in deep trouble.
Right, because she was Dolly at school. She's 4 foot 10. So now we definitely know she's young. Again, we could kind of assume he's older just by the literary aspect of the poetic aspect of the writing. Again, I really like the fact that the third sentence, the tip of the tongue taking a trip of three steps, you know, I like how that sounds, just saying it out loud sounds like what he's writing about. Like it sounds like someone stepping down steps, the ta ta ta. And then the fact that, you know, she was Dolly at school. So that's like with her friends. She's low in the morning, but in his arms, Lolita, which is the most kind of seductive of the versions of her name. Again, I like these first lines where you could kind of get a sense of what the entire novel is going to be like from the very first few lines. And every line makes you want to read more. So like fire of my loins, obviously we want to read more of that. My sin, my soul. So he's going to be tortured at some point, tortured emotionally or mentally. And then again, just the playfulness of how he's, you know, saying the next things, the three steps on the tip of his tongue, and so on.
Well, you definitely get the feeling when you get to the end of that second paragraph that this guy is about to take a tumble down those steps.
I just pulled it up. He says, you can always count on a murderer for a fancy prose style. Which, by the way, I don't know if you can always count on a murderer for that. We already know he's unreliable. It's interesting that maybe we can't count on a murderer for fancy. I don't necessarily associate murderers with fancy prose styles.
Well, I mean, that sentence alone, I mean, you could have used that as a first sentence, but it would not have had the same impact, because once you've set it up with this girl, this woman, this object of desire, and you see her in all these different ways, and now the word murder is thrown into it, you gotta keep going.
I have to say, Airbnb has changed my life. I just love staying in Airbnbs. Like, in about a month, I'm going to Cocoa Beach, which is right next to Cape Canaveral. I'm going to watch some rocket launches. I'm going to, of course, be staying in a very nice Airbnb on the beach. And it's just such a great experience. Like, the whole world is available to us now because of Airbnb. But whenever I'm at an Airbnb, I always realize, you know, the home that I left to come to this Airbnb, I could be making money on that right now by hosting and being an Airbnb myself. So, and I've known people, I had a friend who basically, you know, made a living from turning his home into an Airbnb. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, you do have an Airbnb there. And it can easily fit into your lifestyle, and it's a great way to earn some money. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. The famous Abraham Lincoln quote says, good things come to those who wait. I wonder, did he really say that? Jay, did he really say that? Can you look that up? Regardless of who said it, that's only part of the quote. The full quote is, good things come to those who wait, but only the things left by those who hustle. Well, if you're a business owner and want the best people on your team, the same applies. And listen, I've interviewed 1,500 people now and a lot of entrepreneurs. I can safely say the one thing consistent among all entrepreneurs and CEOs, the successful ones, is that it's all about the people you surround yourself. If you hire well, you're going to have a great business. And, you know, thankfully, ZipRecruiter puts the hustle in your hiring, so you find qualified candidates fast. This is so important, and I want you to try it. You could try it as a potential employer or employee. You could try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter's smart technology finds top talent for your roles right away. Immediately after you post your job, if you're hiring, ZipRecruiter's matching technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I will tell you that I signed up on ZipRecruiter as a potential employee. You know, I just wanted to see how it works. And right away, it started matching me with really amazing potential employers. So give it a try at ZipRecruiter.com/James. Let ZipRecruiter give you the hiring hustle you need. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/James to try it for free. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. What would have been the difference if he had started with that line? You can always count on a murderer for a fancy prose style. I guess since we haven't seen an example of the fancy prose style yet, so, and we don't have a reason yet to continue.
Well, and it's the sentence is perfectly placed where it is because he's got you. This is sort of like watching a boxer throwing 8 shots to set up the 9th one that's on the jaw, which is you can always count on a murderer for a fancy pro style because he's got you leaning in. And then when he hits you with that line, you're saying, oh, shit. How far down the steps does he tumble?
Yeah. And so we basically have sex and sin in the first paragraph. In the second paragraph, we firmly believe and are told she's basically younger than him. And then in the third paragraph, somehow there's a murder that has happened. We don't know who was murdered. We know he did the murder, but we don't know who was murdered. Is it Lolita? How was he caught? Because he's caught. Actually, it's revealed in the next paragraph that he's testifying to a jury. And we know we're in for a ride now.
And I don't want to spoil anything, but the last sentence of the intro is, look at this tangle of thorns. So he's basically just invited you in and you got to go. He's a master of that. There's another book. I don't know. Are we allowed to on this podcast?
Yes.
Reference.
We're allowed to do anything we want.
Okay. I want to reference the same author because he's a master at opening books, Nabokov. And this book that I got in front of me is called Laughter in the Dark.
Oh, yeah.
And he starts it with a sentence that is not what I would classify as an amazing sentence. It's a very routine sentence. And it just starts, once upon a time there lived in Berlin, Germany, a man called Albinus. Okay, so where does that take you? It's almost like you're being invited into a fairy tale and you're saying, all right, there's a once upon a time, so what's the next sentence going to be? And then the writing continues. He was rich, respectable, happy. One day, he abandoned his wife for the sake of a youthful mistress. He loved, was not loved, and his life ended in disaster.
Yeah, so that one, the first, it's almost like he sets you up to be like, oh, okay, one time there was this rich guy, but then he kind of takes you, he sort of sets you up to feel good about what's happening, like you say, like a fairy tale almost, and then he immediately plunges it into darkness.
And basically delivers the whole story for you there, so you have every reason to say, okay, I know what's going to happen. He was not loved, and his life ended in disaster. But look at what he does in the second paragraph. This is the whole of the story, and we might have left it at that had there not been profit and pleasure in the telling. And although there is plenty of space on a gravestone to contain, bound in moss, the abridged version of a man's life, detail is always welcome. he's hooked you. He's just, yeah. He's told you everything you need to know, and yet, you're smiling, as I smiled when I hit the words, this is a whole of the story, and we might have left it at that had there not been profit and pleasure in the telling.
You know, and there's something else interesting there, which is that he starts this off in this very, just a very basic third-person voice. Okay, there's a man, Albinus. He was rich, his wife, he loved, was not loved. But then he gets kind of meta and it becomes a sort of plural first person. This is the whole of the story and we might have left it at that. So now kind of this interesting mix of what person is this story being told in is also compelling. Like, who is we? Why isn't it I might have left it at that? And then there's also this meta aspect where the writer doesn't usually, most books we read, the writer doesn't usually refer to the fact that this is a book you're reading that he wrote. So like when you read a John Grisham novel, and by the way, no knock against John Grisham. I've read every John Grisham novel. I love legal thrillers. But you don't say, John Grisham would never say, you know, oh, I could have left this novel at, you know, young lawyer gets rich and famous and then has disaster, so I decided to keep going. He never refers to the author in the writing of a book, and most authors don't. But this is a very interesting experiment Nabokov is doing.
Yeah, and it's basically showing a strength and control of the language and where he's going. He's narrating. It's his tale. You hear it right off the top. He may be doing this just to make money.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You're intrigued and are coming along.
Yeah, and by the way, this is another, like this, Lolita, and I don't know if you ever read his book, Ada, but they're all examples of someone loving essentially either a little girl or someone much younger.
Yeah, well, it's pretty obvious that there's something deep going on.
I think this is why Nabokov never won the Nobel Prize, actually, is because there's a little bit, too much speculation that there was something kind of wrong with him.
It might have spooked a bunch of people. You're right.
One of my favorite novels, there's quite a few novels where chess is involved. Like we all saw the TV show The Queen's Gambit, which was based on a novel written in the early 80s called The Queen's Gambit. And one of my favorite novels by Nabokov is one called The Defense, about someone who's at the level of a world chess champion who gradually goes insane. And Nabokov himself was a chess master when he was younger.
I never read that. So
that's a great, it's one of my favorite novels ever.
You know what? Thank you, because you've just proved the merit of this podcast, because you've got me very curious to read that book.
And then if you want the extreme Lolita style, there's Ada, which was not only someone loving a little girl, but that someone is, if I remember correctly, that someone is the little girl's brother. So it's almost like a trilogy of novels. Laughter in the Dark, I think, was first, then Lolita, then Ada.
Well, it's interesting, because when you pair them or when you put them together, it really does give you a look into the writer who wrote it. And I'm going to read that book so that I can step back and see what's at the depth.
Your skin refuses to be defined by age. That's why Agency creates personalized anti-aging formulas that smooth fine lines, lighten dark spots, and improve the appearance of dark circles. Each formula is tailored to you and prescribed by a licensed dermatology provider. Formulas are customized with clinically proven ingredients like tretinoin, which is up to 20 times stronger than retinol. Get your first month free at withagency.com. That's withagency.com. $4.95 shipping and handling, subject to consultation. Subscription required. Cancel any time.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
I just saw a quote that said something simple along the lines of, once you see what's underneath the surface, the surface never looks the same again.
It's true. And the fact that there is a surface, I think, makes a work of art interesting. The fact that there is layers deeper. Have you ever watched the TV show Lost?
No.
So I love this show. Again, a lot of people don't like it for various reasons. And there's hundreds of videos on YouTube explaining different aspects of Lost, because there's that much depth to it. It's really interesting. But I've watched the whole series. It's 6 seasons of 20 episodes each. I've watched the whole series at least 4 or 5 times.
What is it that's so compelling?
You know, I won't go into the whole plot or anything, but there's layer after layer after layer after layer. There's little clues from the first few scenes even that don't become more clear until the 6th season. And obviously you don't remember, oh, that's why this woman was holding her wrist
right
in the middle of the very first show of the first season. So you have to watch it again in order to start connecting the dots.
That's great writing. Often when I go back and watch a movie a second time, I see the setups that are just either overlooked or where focusing on something else, but they're there, they're planted, and subliminally we're going with them. And that's why quite often seeing a movie the second time is a really enjoyable experience.
Yeah, every series that I thought was a great series, I've probably watched them all 3 or 4 times. Like Mad Men, I've watched easily 3 or 4 times. Rome, which was a 2-season series on HBO, I've watched that probably like 5 times. Breaking Bad, Battlestar Galactica, these are all like my favorite series. I've watched them all many times. And same with books. I will read a great book over and over and over again. There's one book, collection of short stories, actually, that I lent you, Jesus' Son by Dennis Johnson. I've easily read that 200 times.
Well, I can see why, because as soon as I started to read it, I was just kind of overwhelmed by the great lines. Also, I got to admit that it's something that if I had read decades ago, I think it would have had much more impact on me than reading it from a vantage point of having read a lot of books and kind of getting it where he was going, where if I had read him at a very early age, I would have not had an idea where he was going, and he would have just be transporting me to these places. But through an older point of view, I have a sense of where he's taken me, even though I'm not quite sure. And then when the line explodes on the page, I just smile and said, oh yeah, that's great.
We talked in the last episode about the importance of last lines, even though this is a podcast about first lines. He is the master of the last line. Like, I just love all his last lines. And also, very important thing that he does, which also you see in a lot of great literature, ranging from James Joyce's Portrait of an Artist as a Young Man to Hemingway's Old Man and the Sea to Thomas Pynchon's Gravity's Rainbow. But what I'm talking about is that the style itself is almost a character in the story. So again, when you read like a legal thriller, the style is very like, there really is no style. And that's done with a purpose, because you want to focus on the fact that it's a thriller, not that it's this stylistically told story. But with Jesus' Son, and another one is a Million Little Pieces by James Frey is like this, the style itself changes throughout the book as the character changes. But again, the style it's written in changes as the character evolves.
Well, I think it's a good way to circle back to Nabokov, because that is at the center of his opening. There was just a sense of style that you know you are reading Nabokov. You're not going to read anything like this from any other author. It's totally unique to him, which is, in my mind, a great calling card. And that same thing with the Gabriel Garcia Marquez first line of 100 Years of Solitude. You know, nobody else has written like that.
And yeah,
it's the very essence of style converging with all the other magic that makes you lean forward.
Well, I've got a great one for episode 3. I'm looking forward to telling you it.
All right, now I can't wait. Let's see where this goes.
your skin refuses to be defined by age. That's why Agency creates personalized anti-aging formulas that smooth fine lines, lighten dark spots, and improve the appearance of dark circles. Each formula is tailored to you and prescribed by a licensed dermatology provider. Formulas are customized with clinically proven ingredients like tretinoin, which is up to 20 times stronger than retinol. Get your first month free at withagency.com. That's withagency.com. $4.95 shipping and handling subject to consultation. Subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.